Well, how many believe we're going to have an interesting study?
Amen.
Amen. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. You should be able to quote it. So far in our study of the New Testament church, and this is the fifth message that we've brought forth, the first fifth teaching, we've seen so far a definition of the New Testament church. We have really concentrated on getting a definition of the New Testament church. And we've seen that the New Testament church is not buildings nor denominations, but what the New Testament church is a peculiar race of people. It's not a people like anybody else. Peter says, write this down in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. He says in King James, you are a peculiar people. The Amplified Bible and the real rendering of that verse is you are a peculiar race of people. We are to be something so different that the world's never seen anything like us before.
Amen.
You are a peculiar race. And what Jesus Christ is building today is something entirely different than the world's ever seen before. He's building a race of people. And in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my race of people.
Hallelujah.
I will build my particular called out race of people, my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail or come against it. What the New Testament church is, as we've seen, is a particular called out separated race of people who hell cannot prevail against, come against, stand against, however you want to put it. Hell cannot prevail against her church.
Hallelujah.
If hell puts sickness on you, the church gets it off.
Amen.
If hell puts death on you, the church raises you up.
Hallelujah.
If hell comes against your family, the church comes against hell and runs hell off of it.
Hallelujah.
Now that's the New Testament church that I'm trying to find.
Amen. Amen.
That is what he's building today. It's not a place where we get up and go on Sunday mornings and sing two hymns. In some of the churches today where they go and sing two hymns, that's exactly what they do. They say, I'll pick him and him and him. Homosexuals in the church, from the pulpit. That is not what Jesus Christ is building today. It's an abomination in his nostrils. So far we've looked at the definition of the New Testament church. Last Sunday night we began to look at something else, the origination of the New Testament church. We went and we found where it originated at. And the word origination, I see another word, original. We went and found the original church. Not a watered down church. Not a church who has been changed by time and the teachings and doctrines of men. But a church in its purest state. We looked in the book of Acts and we saw the original church. We saw where it originated. It originated supernaturally. It worked supernaturally. It went forth supernaturally. We saw that the author of the book of Acts was Luke, and Luke wrote two books in your Bible. The first book he wrote was the book of Luke, or the Gospel of Luke. And it spoke to us and told us about Jesus Christ and his natural human body. Never was natural, though. But it had a body just like you got and just like I got. And it talked about that Christ, that Jesus, and that body. And it talked about how he went forth in that body doing the things that he did. That's what Luke tells us about. That's what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell us about. Then we saw that in the book of Acts, we still see Christ. But he's no longer in his natural body, in his natural human body. He is now in another kind of a body. He's now in his spiritual body. But do you know what? That spiritual body went forth in the book of Acts doing identically the very same things that he did in his human body in the book of Luke. He raised the dead, they raised the dead. He healed sick, they healed the sick. He opened blinded eyes, they opened blinded eyes. The church, the original church, done the identical same things that Jesus did.
Hallelujah. Greater works. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah.
We saw that the book of Acts is the Genesis of the New Testament. In the book of Genesis, it tells us about the beginnings of a natural race, doesn't it? It tells us about Adam, and it tells us about in Adam how that race of people. Adam, when you read there in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 17, it tells that God said, "Let us make man." It doesn't say, "Let us make Adam." Oh, my. He created him a race. He created him a race of people dug out in Eden. To perpetuate himself and say, "Go forth now. Replenish the earth." How many of you want to duplicate yourself? You see, this church should be reproducing herself.
Amen.
This fellowship should be continuously reproducing herself. As you and your spouse reproduce yourself in your children, so should the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that spiritual race of people, should be reproducing themselves.
Amen.
And the book of Acts is the Genesis of the New Testament. But the book of Acts does something different than Genesis, in that Genesis talked about a natural human race. The book of Acts tells us about a supernatural race. The book of Genesis tells us about the very beginnings of a race of people. The book of Acts tells us about the beginnings of a supernatural race of people. Genesis and Acts correlate. They both tell us the beginnings of a race of people. And what you are to do, what I am to do, what we are to do, is to do the identical same things that Jesus Christ did.
Amen.
Now, the conclusion of the matter was this. We are not a New Testament church unless we exemplify the supernatural. Now, you may not agree with that, but if we go back to the original church, you will find out what they did. And unless we are exemplifying that, we are not a New Testament church. Unless we are a body of people doing exactly what Jesus Christ did in his human body, then we are not a New Testament church. The New Testament church exemplifies Jesus Christ. In fact, it is called Christ, which is where we are at today and what we're going to be looking at. In the book of Acts, if you took away the supernatural, let's see if I can find that listing real quick. There's a letter from Jimmy Swaggart. I just leave that alone. Somebody get the lights for me real quickly. We looked at this Sunday night. Got the wrong lights. There you go. And what I did last week is I went through the book of Acts and I wrote down the supernatural acts that happened in the different chapters. And all of those are different chapters in the book of Acts. And if you was to take away the supernatural out of the book of Acts, what would you have left? What would you have left? Just a couple of meetings, right? Isn't that what we said? Lights. Just a couple of meetings. And what is the church doing today? That's right. They've taken out the supernatural and they're doing nothing but having some meetings. This morning, all over this area, what are they doing?
Meeting.
Having meetings. The New Testament church exemplifies the Lord Jesus Christ. They do in the spiritual body what He did in the natural body. And if it is not endeavoring, if it is not going after that, if that's not what its mind and purpose is set upon, it is not a New Testament church. Write it down. I don't know what it is. It's Babylon. I do know what it is.
Amen.
All right. Now, as I minister this morning, you're going to have to hear a lot of what I say in the Spirit. Now, what I mean by that, I don't want you to hear me talking. I want you to hear the Spirit talking. Underlying things that I'll be saying, I'll be saying other things. And what you got to do is listen to it in your spirit and hear what I'm saying. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And John said in 1 John, he says, you don't have any need that any man should teach you, because you have an anointing, an unction from the Holy One, and he's going to teach you all things. What is the nearest and the dearest thing to the Lord Jesus Christ? Everybody should know this by now. What is the nearest and dearest thing to the Lord? Is it me by myself over here on 409 North Main Street? Is that what's the nearest and dearest thing to the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ is? Is the nearest and dearest thing to the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ you individually, sit over there at your house, sitting in your recliner? Is that what's nearest and dearest to Him? I'm trying to show you something. The nearest and the dearest thing to the Lord Jesus Christ is His church. His bride, His body. Let's look real quick in Ephesians chapter 5. And I want you to see two things that He loves. Two things that He loves. And let's start with about verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her. Now, does He love the church? How in this particular scripture does He love her? According, what is the principle? What is the thing that the Apostle Paul gives us to relate to? A marriage. As you love your wife, as you love your husband, then that is the relationship that He's trying to correlate with you. He loves His church. It's His bride. It's His wife. Now, let's go down and find something else here that it says that He loves. Look at verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own what? Bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. Now we have two types of the church there. What is the one in 25? The bride. The wife. And then what is the one in 28? And 29, the body. Your body is a type the body is a type of the church, and so is the bride. And is that scriptural? Are we typified as the church, both by being His bride and by being the body of Christ? Yes. He loves that. So back to my original question. What then does the Lord Jesus Christ hold nearest and dearest to His heart? The body and the bride are the church. Are you with me? Let's all say that together. The church. The church. I want you to know what He loves more than anything. And the church is not an individual. The church is a corporate race of people. That's why you got to understand what the definition is. Oh, He loves you. He loves you as much sitting at your individual address as He loves you sitting in here. But what is nearest and dearest to His heart is a corporate race of people that come together and become the bride and the body of Christ. That's what is nearest and dearest to Him. So if I desire to be near and dear to Him, what must I be a part of? The church. Are we getting that? The things that He loved the most is the church. It's typified as His bride and it's typified as His body. And if I want to be close to Him, if I want to be intimate with Him, what must I become a part of? The church. You got to see that. Now, He'll love you. If you never come here, if you never go to any kind of fellowship, He loves you. That's why God sent Him to the earth, because He loved the world. But the thing that the Lord Jesus Christ loves more than anything is His church. The church is an integral part of His being and purpose. The church is an integral part of His being and of His purpose. If we are the body of Christ, then we are His being. You with me? My bride, my wife, is an integral part of my life. We are one flesh. And so however what dimension I want to look at it, if I want to look at it as the bride or if I want to look at it as the body, the church is an integral part of Him. Do you see that?
Amen.
So if I desire to be intimate or integral with Him, what must I be a part of? The church. Stand the New Testament church. That's why it's so important to know what it is and know what it's supposed to be doing. Because if I desire to be intimate with Him and know Him in the way that I so desire to know Him, I have got to be an active, functioning member of the New Testament church.
Amen.
Okay. I'm going to get into the body. I'm fixing to get into the body of Christ this morning. But if I took this hand and I cut it off and I laid it over there, and I stood over here, say in about, how long would it take, Ted? A week. Let's just use it. I'll make sure I get it. I'll do it. What's happened to that hand laying over there? Dead. It's decaying. But what's happening to my body? Does it die because I lose my hand? No. Yeah, it hurts. It always hurts. But my point is this, is that if you separate, if you're not a part, if you're not an integral part of the Lord Jesus Christ and of His body and of His bride, you're going to die and decay. And I don't mean that as you're going to hell, but what I mean is you are not going to function in the anointing. You see, to be a part of my body, it has to be attached. It has to be a part of me. For the blood to flow through it and to the life-giving force to flow through it, my hand must be attached to my body. If it's laying over there, it is not getting the life-giving force that my body must have to keep itself functioning. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
To be a part, an active part of what Jesus loves so dearly and so much, you've got to be attached. actively functioning in a New Testament church. To have the life-giving force of the Spirit going through you and functioning through you, you've got to be hooked up. Okay. To understand the body of Christ is to understand Jesus. Jesus is the head, and I'm going to get scriptures in a second. Jesus is the head of the body. But if I cut my head off and I lay it over there, what happens? Now, hear me in the spirit. Okay. It all goes. But if they're hooked together and everything's functioning the way that the body should come together and operate and function, what happens to the head? It directs everything else. It gives all total direction. He is preeminent. Never, no matter what I ever say or however you think I, whatever you think I'm saying, never misunderstand that I know that Jesus is preeminent. He is over everything. He is King and Lord. But without his body, he can do nothing. Let's say, for example, that my head could live without the rest of it. Just say it could. But what could it do? Could it do anything? No, you see, there has to be the total attachment and the members coming together. And of course, that's what apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers are given for us, for the edifying of the body of Christ, and until we all come together. Unto a body. To understand the body of Christ is to understand Jesus. Let me reverse that now. If you do not understand the body of Christ, you do not understand Jesus. If you don't understand what the New Testament church is, if you don't understand what the church is all about, you do not understand Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You know who he is? You know that he was supposedly born on December the 25th, which he wasn't, but I'm not going to touch that. You know who he is, you know about him, but you don't know him. You don't know Jesus if you don't know the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. And the reason that I say that is because you don't know what he loves. First Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now let's hold it just a second. Let's get some good out of here. Tell me if I quote it right. Now you are the members of Jesus and members in particular. Did I quote it right? I'll do it again. Now you are members of Jesus. You are the Is that what it says? Now you are the body of Jesus. All right. You got to get this. You are not the body of Jesus. Where does that body now sit? At the right hand of the Father, folks. You're not the body of Jesus. But you are, Paul says. Tell me if I quote it right again. You are a type of the body of Christ. Are you a type of the body of Christ? You see, we get this, we're a type of the body of Jesus. No, you're not. What you are is the body of Christ. You are not a type of it. You're not a type of the body of Jesus. You're not a type of that. You are the body of Christ. You got to forget that I'm a type of the body of Jesus, or I'm a type of the body of Christ. No, you are it. You are the body of Christ. Let's look at Colossians 1:24, and I want to show you an overhead. Give you a couple more scriptures about this body. Colossians 1:24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for the body's sake, which is the type of the church, or the type of the body which is the church. Is the body the church? You got to get that. It's not a type of the body. It's not a type of Jesus. The church is the body. It's not a type. It is. One more. Romans 12. Romans 12, let's read 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ. Does it say a type of the body in Christ? You are the body of Christ. And every one of you are members of another, if you're active in the body. You are members of the body of Christ. You are members. Members, you are the body of Christ. I want you to get that. Are you a type of Christ? Not sure. Are you a type of Christ? No, you are Christ. Oh, my. You're not Christ all by yourself. You are only Christ when the body is together. You are only Christ when you're functioning and flowing with the Spirit coursing through the entire body of Christ, that life-giving Spirit. But you are the Christ. Amen. Now, let's go back to where we were, 1 Corinthians 12. Is this too heavy? I know that some of you know this, and some of this is just simple repetition for you. But others of you, this is new kind of a way of thinking. This is some of this heresy that I get accused of. Lights, please. All right, let's read this verse 27 one more time. 12:27, 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Now, that word Christ, if you don't understand what that word is, if you don't understand that word, you'll never know or have a revelation of what I'm trying to teach you today. That word in the Strong's Concordance is number 5547. If you don't have a Strong's Concordance, you'll never understand your Bible. I think to mature, you got to have a Strong's Concordance. But I'm kidding. No, don't.
In 5547 of the Strong's Concordance in the Greek, that word is Christos. That's the way you enunciate it. Christos. Now, it means this. Anointed. That is the Messiah. An epithet of Jesus. And it's translated in your Bible as Christ. Now, what I got to get across to you is that it doesn't say you are the body of Jesus. You are the body of Christ. And to do that, I've got to get across to you what epithet means. Now, that word out of the Funk and Wagnalls Dictionary means a descriptive word or phrase qualifying or used in place of the usual name or person or thing. In other words, it's an adjective. All right? It can take the place of what he's meaning. In other words, it can refer to Jesus because Jesus was anointed and Jesus was the Christ. But now he was the only Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But what have we seen happen in the book of Acts? The anointing has come on his body. He said, I go to be with the Father. But I'm coming back. I'm going to send a comforter. And greater things than I've done shall you do. Why? Because the comforter dwells in you. God lives in you. The Christ lives in you. The anointing lives in you. The Holy Ghost lives in you. And because of that, then you are becoming the Christ. Now, does Paul say or not, that you are the body of Christ? Does he say that? Are you the body of Christ? And when we come together, folks, we have the anointing to do what he did, say what he said, act like he acted. We got that anointing upon us right now in this very room. We got it, we got it, we got it, we got it. I just read a note that Lance has got in his notes there where he goes to school, and he's got some notes there. He says, if you're getting ready to do something, you're too late. If we're getting ready to have the anointing, we're too late. We got it right now, folks. We are the church. We are the body. We're not going to be the body. We're not one day it's going to happen by and by. We are the body of Christ. We are Christ. We are the body of Christ. I got to get it. The New Testament church functioned and flowed in the supernatural. The only way today that we can function and flow in the supernatural is by functioning and flowing in the Christ, in the anointing. You're not the body of Jesus. You are the body of Christ. You are the anointed body. You got that? You are the anointed body. You're not one day going to be the anointed body. Lights, please. It's not going to happen by and by. It's 12 o'clock. You are the body of Christ. Amen. I want you to chew on this at dinner. Don't chew on me. Get your Bible out. Get your translations out. When it's talking about the anointed Jesus, it says Christ Jesus. But when it's talking about Christ, the body, it just says Christ. Are you with me? When it says Christ Jesus, it's talking about the anointed Jesus. When it just says the body of Christ, it talks about the anointed body. If I was to say Christ Dewey, pick on you. If I was to say Christ Dewey, what would I really be saying? The anointed Dewey. Christ Lance. Christ Hillard. You see what I'm saying, folk? We got to get an understanding of what the Bible is teaching us and what we are today, not what we're going to be one day. You are, Paul said, and he wrote that how long ago? Somewhere around 1925 years ago. He wrote that and he says, you are the body of Christ. Now, I'm closing. And you got to hear me by the Spirit. If you have a desire to be one with Jesus, then you must become involved with His church. You must become involved because the anointing flows through His church. It flows through His body. The anointing is there. And to be alive in Him, you must be alive in His church. I have problems with individuals who are off all by themselves doing their own little thing and are never attached to a church, to a fellowship, to a people. Because I know the destination of such. They're going to wither up and decay. They can only go so long on their own unctions. One day they will wither and decay if they are not joined together in the body of Christ. To know Him in His intimacy, you must be involved in His church. Now let me clarify. How many understand that you must be born again? You must be washed in the blood. Joining a church is not going to get you saved. I don't care what church you join, this one or any other. That will not get you saved. That is the new birth. That is the born-again experience. That is your initial step into the walk after Him. That's where it all starts at, but you're just an infant. And you must come into the church. You must be nurtured by apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers. You must be edified and built. You must be corrected. You must be, as Jeremiah talks about, the potter's wheel. Have a hand on the inside of you, which is the Christ, and a hand on the outside of you, which is the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And the whole time, that potter's wheel is a turning. And you're being molded. And you're being conformed into an image. But the only way that happens is to get into a New Testament church. That's the only way. Now, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I truly, and I'm going to give you an opportunity here in just a second. I'm going to ask you to become a part, without doubt, of what I'm preaching to you today. But if you are born again, I encourage you to attach yourself to the body of Christ. Because He loves His church. He loves His body and He loves His bride. Now, we've looked at her so much as the bride, but now today we're looking at her as the body. Share just real quickly about tonight. Tonight's message I'm going to share about is going to be about, it's going to be a lot of history. A lot of history. It's not going to be one of these clapping yay kind of messages, I don't think. But I'll give you a lot of history because I'm going to start tonight on the deterioration of the New Testament church. After the book of Acts, what happened? I'm going to show you the reason that I think it's so important that you understand what I'm trying to say here is because you're going to see that a lot of those things that we are waiting to happen, like in Matthew chapter 24, where the temple is going to be destroyed and all these things that Jesus prophesied, the things that you are waiting to see happen have already happened. And unless you understand something about eschatology, end time teachings, you're waiting for something that's already transpired. And tonight I'm going to deal with some of those things. But right now, let's stand.